Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Read with Michelle Martin on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm reading I Am My Brand, How to Build Your Brand Without Apology. And my guest today is the author. She's an award-winning specialist, over 2 decades of experience. And she's worked with huge brands like Nike and L'Oreal and big superstars like P. Diddy and Mariah Carey and Justin Timberlake. QB Springer is my guest. She started as a dancer, even worked with the Spice Girls, and now she lives a life of her dream, traveling the world, talking about what she loves, branding. Here's the author of I Am My Brand, QB Springer. You've worked with some of the biggest brand names, like Rolls-Royce or L'Oreal or Nike or even P. Diddy and Mariah Carey, but you started as a dancer. So when did you decide that you're going to own your own brand?
That's a beautiful question. I think I didn't decide to do it. I think I was, I think I was called to do it. So as a dancer, by default, if any of your listeners have ever done performing arts, you know that you're always having to present yourself. You're always having to go to auditions. You're always having to bounce back from no's, from knockback. And so I think my dance training prepared me as a youngster. I started dancing at the age of 4. I got my first agent when I was 12. But I injured my knee when I was 17. And even at that time, I was dancing for the Spice Girls doing their European tour when I injured my knee. So very high level, even as a very young person. I was 17 when it happened. But then I had to think about, well, who is Kubi going to be next? What does she want to do next? And so the idea of rebranding yourself, even though I wouldn't have called it that in 1996 at the age of 18, in essence, that's what I had to do. You know, I'd spent all these years wanting to be X. It could no longer happen because of an injury. And I had to decide, well, what else do we want to do? And how do I want to show up in the world? And that, in essence, is rebranding. How do you want to show up in the world as a rebrand? And so then I went on the journey of doing internships and studying my undergrad and, you know, working for people, like you rightly said in your introduction, like Puff Daddy. And I caught the bug of this thing called branding. Now, bear in mind, it was 2001 when I was working with Diddy and his marketing agency. And so the word branding was very, very new concept. It was something that, you know, the Americas did, but the rest of the world hadn't necessarily caught up to as such. But I got first row seats with people like Puffy and Justin Timberlake and Mariah Carey as their teams and them started to carve out what would end up being these mega superstar brands on individuals. And I got to see what that looks like and what that formula and what the science of personal branding looks like. And that's really how my career was started.
You've distilled the science of branding into 8 key pillars. I wonder, for women listening in, which of your 8 pillars would you say is the most important thing that women pay attention to when it comes to building their own brand?
I think the 8 pillars, which, you know, comprise of things like vision, clarity, strategy, tactics, metrics, etc. I think all of the pillars are highly important. But I think depending on what phase in your career you are, and to apologize, one might be more important than the other. So if, as an example, you're maybe kind of middle management moving into senior management, maybe the pillar, which is pillar 9, about know your worth and add tax, that might be really important because you're thinking about how do you negotiate a pay rise? How do you negotiate maybe bonus packages? How do you negotiate internal promotions? And historically, women, generally speaking, haven't been taught to know how to value ourselves and put a commercial label on that and be, you know, unapologetic about asking for money. But maybe if you're starting your career or you're doing a career pivot, maybe looking at a different career, maybe the very first thing around decision is something that you need to be thinking about. And decisions is all about, what am I prepared to struggle through to get what I want? You know, or maybe clarity is where you need to start, having real clarity around your brand mission, your brand vision, your brand essence, your brand personality. You know, so depending on where you are in your career, the 8 pillars might speak to you at different stages.
Does building a personal brand need to start with an authentic core? I mean, we know people like Mariah Carey, Justin Timberlake, people you've worked with, P. Diddy, you have a public persona and a private persona, and we don't necessarily expect the two to match. So when it comes to individuals, do you advise people to start thinking about their brand with authenticity at the heart of things?
It absolutely needs to start with authenticity. So I say to personal brands, women particularly, do not create a brand, birth your brand, birth who you truly are, and do the work to identify who is that person. You know, how do I choose to show up in the world? Which part of myself do I want to present to the world and say, this is who I am, take me seriously, pay me, know my value, discover my value. So I'll give you a very practical example. My brand personality is that I'm a sage. So we all fall under one of the 12 brand archetypes. Every great brand, from a Nike Rolls Royce to you and I, fall under one of the 12 brand archetypes. And so one of the archetypes is called the sage. The sage brand personality wants to change the world through information. So the BBC, as an example, is the sage. Oxford University is the sage. But I'm also the sage. I love knowledge. I love learning. And I love looking at how I can use my knowledge and learning around branding to change the world. So that's part of my brand personality. The other side of my brand personality is the rebel. So somebody like Gordon Ramsay is the rebel. Richard Branson is the rebel. The rebel is the person who wants to kind of shuffle up the industry a little bit. Is, you know, okay and feels very comfortable being a, you know, around a square hole in a round environment, right? A square clock in a round environment. Unapologetically a little bit of a rebel. That is me too. It's the reason why, you know, I would wear a big afro, or I might shave the side of my hair and still go into a board meeting. So my personality is the sage as the senior and the rebel as my minor. Now, once upon a time, I was scared of showing the rebel side. Once upon a time, I thought that I was that woman that did need to wear grey suits. But I hate grey suits. I want to wear, you know, a bright red jumper into a bank meeting or an investors meeting. I don't want to conform to what society tells me to do. And so it took me a long time to get very comfortable with being who I am, with that rebel side of me, and saying, actually, if I own my difference, then actually I'm owning my strength. And I say to people all the time, your strength is your differentiation. Your strength is the fact that you're a woman. Your strength is the fact that, in my case, you happen to be a black woman. Your strength is the fact that you didn't go to Oxford and Cambridge. That's your strength, because your difference is what brings a different solution to the business problem at hand, and everybody needs that.
Do you think Donald Trump has been successful at building a personal brand?
I think that whether we agree with Donald Trump's policies, politics or not, I think that one can't deny that there is an element of mad geniusness when it comes to his brand consistency and his personal brand positioning. I personally don't necessarily align myself to his politics, but I can separate that and look at him as a brand strategician and say, well, that was a genius move. You weren't in the White House and you somehow managed to position yourself to align yourself to a tribe that believes in what you believe in, or at least what you present to the world you believe in, a tribe that has bought into what you have said, and a tribe that consistently believes in your brand voice. So I think that from a pure branding perspective, not politics, but branding perspective, I think Donald Trump is a genius from a branding perspective. And I think that he absolutely very successful brand for a very long time. You know, over decades, he's been able to present this maverick brand. For decades, he's been presenting this anti-establishment brand. Whether I believe it or not is a whole different ballgame, but he's been able to present it consistently, and it's got him into the White House. And it's got him into a White House with a tribe who he speaks for them. Now, I'm not that tribe. I assume that a lot of your listeners are probably not that tribe. You know, on a very personal level, I may be disgusted by some of his politics. But from a brand strategy perspective, I think that what he's done is a genius move.
Culture shapes us and culture shapes our choices. What are some of the tools that your book, I Am My Brand, looks at that women across cultures use to build their personal brand?
I think that's a wonderful question. I Am My Brand has 13 very amazing high-level women in there. So I have these amazing contributors who supported the development of the book. And they are from an array of different parts of the world, from Asia to America to Africa to the UK, Europe to Latin America. And I wanted this kind of breadth of high-powered women because I think that culture does play significantly when we're building our personal brand in 2020 and beyond. And one of the things that I get people to think about is, what are the cultural nuances, the unspoken things that can either hinder or propel your personal brand success? So when you're working in a different part of the world, you know, I'll give you a classic example. When I work in America, and I do a lot of work in America, and I send an email to them, particularly in North America and in New York, they really like succinct, quick one-liner type emails. They don't want the, you know, extravagant fluff that we produce in the UK. So in the UK, I might write an email and say, good morning, how was your weekend? I hope your children are well, before I get into the meat of it. What I found, however, when I work in North America, is they don't necessarily want all of that. They want you to get to the chase, get to the point, and get to it quickly. So those cultural nuances, I say in my book, that we need to be aware of, because they're the unsaid. They're the things that are not talking business school. And I encourage people, the way to be able to identify those so that they don't trip themselves up is to partner with people in the local market. And you can use things like LinkedIn to be able to do that in a very cost-effective way. So find out, actually, what are the things that I need to be aware of that nobody tells me, so that I understand the culture that I'm dealing with.
Besides being a published author, you've also spoken at many conferences and worked with clients like Oxford University. I want to talk a little bit about legacy brands who may be struggling in this day and age of hyper-personalization or reaching an audience in an authentic way. What do you say to the legacy brand?
I think the legacy brand is an interesting one, because I think that when we look at, you know, the definition of branding, branding is an emotional connection with your target audience. And a lot of people say to me, when you're, you know, looking at a legacy brand, do we need to be changing our brand with the changing times? And my instinctive reaction, this is before I go in and do any form of brand audit or analysis, but kind of my gut instinctive reaction would always lean to no. And the reason why I'd lean to know is because a brand is an emotional connection with your desired audience. What is that emotion that you're trying to conjure up? And 9 times out of 10, that emotion doesn't need to change, because human behavior hasn't changed much in the last 1,000 years. So let me quantify that. Disney are trying to connect with us by really selling magic. When you buy Disney, you're buying magic. When you buy Coca-Cola, you're not buying a drink, you're buying happiness. When you're buying Nike, you're not buying trainers, you're buying power. When you're buying Adidas, you're not buying trainers, you're buying the cool factor. When you buy Apple, you're not buying, you know, a piece of technology software, you're buying innovation. Most great legacy brands have understood this idea that branding is an emotional connection, and therefore they're selling something emotive. And that doesn't always need to change. Disney's been going for over 100 years. They're still selling magic. What might need to change with times is your product category might need to diversify. Your target audience might need to diversify. The mechanisms with which you market that magic might need to diversify. But the brand essence, that emotional connection, probably should stay true to what it always was.
Speaking about connection, most people think they've got to go to their audience. And so if they want to build their personal brand, they need to get on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Is it a non-negotiable to be on those platforms?
I think that as it pertains to personal brands, I think it's imperative to have a digital footprint. You know, data tells us that before a recruitment agency calls you in for an interview or even looks at your CV, they Google your name. I think the data is something like 86% of recruiters will Google a potential candidate's name before they call them in for an interview. So I think the days of not wanting to be on social media, I think unfortunately by default of the way the marketplace is, you do need to have a digital footprint. Now, the next question is then, as a personal brand, where do you need to be? Well, you need to be where your desired audience is. So if your desired audience, the hiring manager, is on LinkedIn, then you need to be on LinkedIn. If they're on Twitter, you need to be on Twitter. If they're on Instagram, you need to be on Instagram. You know, if you're a photographer and you've got customers and they want to see your images and your potential customers on Instagram, then you absolutely need to be on Instagram. So you only need to be where your desired tribe is. You don't need to be everywhere. amount of people that say to me, so I need to be on all the platforms. And I'm like, no, you know, you don't need to be on all of them. You don't need to be on Snapchat and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. No, you need to be where your potential tribe is or where your audience is.
The book I'm reading today is I Am My Brand. And you just heard from the book's author, QB Springer, an award-winning specialist. You can get the book at most good bookstores. Keep reading. I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.